Now then, both hands, please.
Both?
Both. Thank you. No, open them.
Oh.
That's the way. Now, perfect silence, if you please. Perfect silence.
Arden House.
Is that Miss McPherson?
Speaking.
Constable Ross here.
Oh, yes, Hughie.
Miss McPherson.
Hey?
I have a death on my hands.
Oh, dear.
Aye, in tragic circumstances. Young Jenny Cochran.
Oh, no. Not Jenny. Dr. Finlay?
Yes, Janet.
It's the police. Jenny Cochran's dead.
Oh, no.
She's Dr. Cameron's patient, is she not?
Yes. You can wait for that news until after surgery. He'd be willing to wait forever. Why, the police?
Are you there, Miss McPherson?
One moment, Hughie. Because it was in tragic circumstances, Doctor.
What? You better give it to me. Thank you. Dr. Finlay here.
I'm afraid there's no doubt, Doctor. All I need is a certificate, something for the fiscal.
Dr. Cameron's in surgery, and I'd like to spare him this one. He's been busy trying to get Jenny a bed.
Aye, I know.
I'll be there right away. Janet, don't say anything about this to Dr. Cameron until I get back.
Mrs. Crawford, I'm not impressed by the headline.
The headline, Miss Sutherland?
Yes. It's not very long, and it splits under the second finger. Oh. Brains were never your strong point.
Well, I'll not deny it. I have my work cut out, reaching standard 5.
But Thorpe declares your mind was overtaxed as a child.
Maybe. But still, I manage my work about the house, and that's more than some can say. What about the heart, Miss Sutherland?
You've an emotional nature. You give too much love.
Well, you cannot give too much.
The line's thick and short. There's an end to love.
I've no patience these days. I cannot bear the noise of the bairns, and I wouldn't be without them for the world. I'm just not well, and that's a fact.
Do you wish me to read the lifeline?
You wouldn't give me tuppence back if I said no. I'm not bright, but I know that.
Very well. Give me your right hand.
To tell the truth, it's the line I couldn't rest easy till I'd... till you'd looked at it. Can you no read it?
I am reading it.
Well.
The consultation is over.
Over?
There'll be no charge. Here's your shilling back.
I don't want my shilling. I want the truth, Miss Sutherland. I want to know.
The consultation is over. You must go elsewhere. Good day, Mrs. Crawford. This way, if you please.
What is it, laddie?
Oh, God, the police. Then it's true.
Rab Gregory, isn't it?
Yes.
This is no place for you.
Well, it's Jenny's place. My girls, I want to see her.
Well, come in. Andy, pull yourself together.
Where is she?
Dr. Finlay's with her.
They said she was dead.
Yes, she's dead, Rab.
Oh, God.
Oh, now, take it easy. There's enough trouble here.
Dr. Cameron said when she got to bed, she'd be all right.
Rab, she didn't die of consumption.
Oh, for heaven's sake, ma'am, what happened?
It's a matter for the fiscal, I'm afraid.
She did it herself. Is that what you're saying?
Uh-huh. Aspirin.
Oh, no.
Now, just be a sensible lad and answer my questions.
Questions?
I was under the impression you and Jenny were going to be married.
Aye, we were. In April.
She had no ring on her finger.
She gave it back to me last week.
That would be after Dr. Cameron diagnosed the trouble, no doubt.
It was not. It was before she knew it was wrong.
Well, she gave you the chuck. The truth now.
She said she could never marry me, never.
Did she give you a reason, Leb? That's no like a lassie.
She said it was written.
Written? Written where? Was there a letter?
I don't think she meant that. It's written, she said, just like that. So help me God, those were her words. And I got the ring put in my hand, and it was, see you sometime, Rab.
Come in, come in. Let me see, it's Mrs. Fraser, isn't it?
Good evening, Dr. Cameron.
Sit down, sit down.
Thank you.
You're shivering, woman. Is it cold in the waiting room?
No, it's not that. It's just maybe someone walking over my grave.
And not the most tactful phrase for a doctor's consulting room. Well, what's the trouble, Mrs. Fraser?
I don't feel right, Doctor. In spirit.
And in body?
I wish I knew. Oh, Doctor, I wish I knew. But there's something.
You're a bit flushed. Stand up a moment. How long have your ankles been swollen?
Oh, a few months now, I suppose. That's to be expected at my age.
I have no age at all. Now, just stand still while I run my hands over your neck. Thank you. Does that cough trouble you much?
No, it's nothing. They know I'm coming, that's all.
So you've had it some time. Are you short of breath?
I'm that. The stairs are killing me these days.
Now, if you just unbutton your blouse while I... That's the way. Still now.
What do you think it is, Doctor?
You've been overdoing it.
Is that all? Tell me the truth.
Well, you have a heart condition.
Oh, my God.
There's a perceptible murmur.
I knew it. That's what she meant.
What who meant?
Nothing, a friend. That's all. Doctor, how long have I got?
You have the rest of your life, woman. Damn it, you're not going to drop down dead.
I'd rather know. I'd rather hear the worst. What's wrong with my heart?
Keep calm, Mrs. Fraser. There's nothing to be alarmed about.
Doctor, I tell you, I can't bear the thought of pain. Sometimes I feel like ending it all.
Woman, woman, that's wicked talk. Now listen to me. You have what we call mitral stenosis. The flow of blood to the heart is impeded.
Janet? Janet!
I'm coming, Dr. Finlay.
Dr. Cameron's not still in the surgery.
He is. And since there was not a cue, someone's getting a thorough going over, Doctor.
He takes his time lately.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think why I'm in a hurry, though. He's not going to enjoy this.
Jenny Cochran?
Yes.
Did she?
Yes. Yes, she did.
Oh, the poor girl. She was so pretty and vivacious.
There are things about it I find puzzling, Janet. Of course, Dr. Cameron knew her better. For me, she was just a wave and a smile.
What is puzzling, Doctor? Well, I'm sorry, perhaps I shouldn't ask.
No, it's nothing medical. She'd broken it off with Rob Gregory a week ago.
Did she know what was wrong with her?
No, it was just before her illness was diagnosed.
Before who was diagnosed, Dr. Finlay?
A patient of yours, Dr. Cameron. The police telephoned. You were in the surgery. The
police?
She was dead.
I see. Well, am I to be told the name of my dead patient? Why should it concern the police?
Jenny Cochran, by her own hand.
Jenny? Oh.
You take a dram, Doctor.
Thank you, I'll take nothing. Why, for God's sake. Even with that, there's hope. Hope is half the battle.
Well, she had none, it seems.
Is that the effect I have on my patients?
Oh, you know it is not, Dr. Cameron. Some people are made that way. She told her boy that it was written.
What did she mean by that? Where written?
I don't know.
We can't ask her now. Janet, I should not be wanting lunch.
Ah, he's taking it too hard. I know it's upsetting, but you can't always predict. We don't set up as astrologers.
One moment, Doctor. Listen.
What?
Listen. He's gone to the attic.
The attic?
It's 3 years since he last...
Last what?
You know what's in the attic, Doctor.
Aye, broken furniture, empty trunks and dust.
It's where he keeps the dead. So do you.
The dead? What are you talking about?
the records, Doctor. When you lose a patient, the file goes up to the attic.
Do you mean he's gone up to count his dead?
I've been expecting it.
Working out his average for the season like a bowler.
Dr. Finley.
He's daft, Janet, and if he isn't, this sort of attitude will drive him daft.
Dr. Finley, you will say nothing.
I'll say a great deal.
Doctor.
All very well, Janet. We'll carry on till he's a mind to speak. No wonder he spends so much time going over the run-of-the-mill cases in the surgery. His confidence is destroyed.
Evening, Dr. Cameron.
Good evening, Biddy. What can I do for you, as if I didn't know? I'm sorry, sit down.
I'll not waste your time, Doctor. You sound Guy worn out.
Oh, I'll survive.
I just came about that pickle in my tubes.
The mixture is before, eh?
Aye. And then a spare of the peppermint.
Nothing else troubling you?
So anything, but living hour long and not liking it hour much.
I don't believe it. Not you, Biddy. Sometimes I feel like that myself. But in any case, I can't cure life.
Nobody's asking you to. Even if I didn't like it, I'd live to spite them.
Not to spite me, Biddy?
Fuck no. But everyone else. Miss Sutherland, for a start.
Miss Sutherland? Who's Miss Sutherland?
She said the lifeline was short. What the hell'd she expect at my age? I'd no try to hang a week's washing on it.
You've been having your fortune told.
She just said it to give me my money's worth of misery.
Did she now? Did she?
Can I have my bottle?
I'm sorry, Biddy. Here, put it in your pocket.
Thanks. I'll be a while then, Doctor.
One moment. What was that about a lifeline? Short, you said?
Sutherland said it. The new fortune teller, well... Nice and new. She's settled in now. The business is brisk.
Indeed.
They swear by her. But I'm no so daft. Once a year for the next 10 years, it'll cost me a shilling to prove her wrong. Except for the last time, and then I'll no be caring.
A fortune teller. I might try it myself. Where does Miss Sutherland live, Biddy?
Argyle Street. Kippers and curtains, if you ask me. Thanks for the bottle, Doctor. It goes well with a dram.
Good evening, Biddy. I tell the others I'll have to wait a while.
With pleasure, Doctor. They wouldn't be here if there was something good on at the picture.
Biddy!
Aye?
Ask Miss Fasson if she'd come here.
I will, Doctor. Good night.
Good night, Biddy. Cup. Hand or cards. I wonder.
You wanted me, Doctor.
Yes, Janet. Is Dr. Finley back from his rounds?
Yes, Dr. Cameron, I'm here.
I'd like to speak to you both.
What's
Doctor?
Dr. Finley, in the last month, 7 of my patients have come to me quite certain that they had a bad illness.
Well, that's not unusual.
And those numbers, and in that brief time.
Well, we have our share of hypochondriacs.
But these were not hypochondriacs. In each case, the patient was right. They were all women. They all had a serious condition. Very serious. And I had missed it every time.
Oh, well, none of us perfect. I found I'd missed two myself only last week.
Were they women too, Doctor?
Matter of fact, Janet, yes.
That makes 9. And a month. In one practice, 7 of them mine.
I'm not sure that I get the drift of this, Dr. Cameron.
They were convinced that they were seriously ill. Who convinced them?
How do you mean?
I mean they've been got at.
Got at, Doctor?
Well, there's a new fortune teller in town.
Oh, no.
That'll be Miss Sutherland, Doctor.
You know her?
I've seen her.
If I'm right, she's a very clever and a very vicious woman. What do you know, Janet?
Well, not much, but I do know she's a retired nurse.
A nurse?
A nurse, that's it. A nurse with a grievance.
Just hold hard. Have we only her word for it? I mean, does she claim to be a nurse, Janet?
No, Dr. Finley, and she does not practice.
Does she not?
Then how do you know that she was a nurse?
The postman, of course.
Oh, God.
But sometimes her letters are forwarded from St. Bride's Nurses' Home in Glasgow.
Honestly, Tannach Bray, you can't blow your nose.
A nurse. Exploiting her experience. For a shilling a time. And what more she gets out of it to feed her cruelty and malice. The woman is evil.
Dr. Cameron, don't misunderstand me. If this is true, I'm with you all the way. But how do you know it's true? Have you evidence?
Oh, nothing would stand up in a court of law.
Oh, you see the difficulty.
We must deal with the difficulty. Janet, I need your help.
Anything you say, Doctor.
Consult her. Mm-hmm. Cross her palm with silver or whatever the degrading jargon is. Bring us back evidence. And the law can take its course.
Will I have to appear in court, Doctor?
I hope so. I am not a vindictive man, but this creature...
Doctor, on the face of it, Miss Sutherland is an unmarried woman scratching a living. I'm that myself.
Janet, Miss Sutherland is a killer. Remember Jenny Cochran?
Aye, that's it. She said it was written. I bet you Miss Sutherland...
Aye, Dr. Finley, I think so too.
Very well, Doctor. I just did not wish to give the impression of undue enthusiasm. I put on my hat and coat.
I just did not wish to give the impression of undue enthusiasm. Onward, Christian soldiers, and God help Miss Sutherland.
Oh, I forgot. I should have told her to use a false name.
She'll have thought of that. Don't you worry.
Do sit down. Now tell me, Miss Travers, before we start. Are you the nervous kind?
I like my money's worth, Miss Sutherland.
If the truth is in your hand, do you want to hear it, Miss Travers?
It is what I've come for, Miss
Sutherland. Very well, very well. Your right hand, please. Oh. You're country bred, that's plain.
And no shame to that.
I wonder you travelled at all. The line of destiny is so thin and pale.
I was never ambitious.
Oh, if that were all. I see a poor spirit and a pliant heart. A hand bred for submission. Were you never married, Miss Travers?
I was not.
Yet I see willing service to men beyond the nature of a free woman.
You are not much of a hand at flattery.
Miss Travers, the truth is in the hand. You have only to get up and go.
I'll bide a while yet. I might fare better if I go further.
You might. The heart line.
Aye, well, I've no great hopes there, but I'll hear my shilling out.
The heart line's weak, and it soon falters. I see a star in your 20th year and a kiss beside it.
May, and that was behind the door.
Nothing since, Miss Travers?
I haven't the spirit, seemingly. Have I missed anything, Miss Sutherland?
Miss Travers, will I read your palm, or will you read mine?
There is a time for everything. Just now we are dealing with mine, and I am not doing too well.
Oh, there's always the line of life. Oh,
is my time up?
Your time? I see. No, you have 10 minutes yet. Long enough for the line of life.
Oh, and how long is that?
Oh, I've seen the worst. But it crosses the line of health.
Aye, it would do that.
Miss Travers, if you came here for a shilling's worth of fun, it's time to go.
I am not playing games. I came for the truth.
Have you a special reason for wanting it?
I might.
Yes, you might. And you might not like it.
Miss Sutherland... Is something going to happen to me?
I don't read the future. I don't have to. I don't need your hand. I see it in your face.
Is it serious? Are you telling me that I'm going to...
We all are.
When? For me?
Oh, you'll live a while yet. But you won't enjoy it, Miss MacPherson.
What have I got?
I'm not a doctor, of course, as Cameron is, the revered, respected Cameron.
Oh, come on, Janet. You're overwrought. You say she called you Miss MacPherson. Do you not see? She saw you coming.
I know that fine, Dr. Finley.
Well then, Janet.
Well, what, Dr. Cameron?
She tried to put the fear of God into you. You're letting her succeed. There's nothing the matter with you.
Oh, is there not, Doctor? You know what she told the others, and she was right.
That woman is the devil.
I'll not deny it. But the devil might tell the truth for his own purpose.
Well, it's soon settled.
It is indeed. Janet, come into the surgery. Let us lay this ghost now. Once for all.
No.
Come along.
No,
Don't you want to know?
Doctor, I would like your permission to call on Dr. Snoddy.
Snoddy?
I am not working for him.
What's that got to do with it?
I'm sorry, Dr. Cameron. But if I have to take down my drawers, it will not be for any man in this house. I'll see Dr. Snoddy.
Well,
it's of no consequence who tells her that she is perfectly healthy.
And is she?
Dr. Philly, there must be an end to this.
I agree. But we didn't get very far with one stratagem. What now?
We need more ammunition. Why has Miss Sutherland retired from nursing?
Yes, why?
I should go to see the matron of St. Bride's.
More women. The monstrous regiment of women.
Let me make it quite clear, Dr. Cameron. I will not have Sister Sutherland hounded again.
Hounded, matron?
Yes, hounded. Especially will I not have her hounded by masculine vanity.
Really, matron?
Vanity, Dr. Cameron. What did Sister Sutherland find that you failed to find?
Matron, I have a patient dead. By her own hand.
What?
Because Sister Sutherland saw that she was going to die. And told her so.
You might have said so earlier. I'm afraid I do not respond to browbeating.
I am beside myself with frustrated rage. Not vanity. I'm here to ask for help. Against a perverted nurse.
And who perverted her?
Do you know?
Your profession did.
How?
Dr. Cameron, many experienced nurses acquire skill in diagnosis.
That's true.
Sister Sutherland had no equal. For 30 years, she knew better than many doctors. But she had to keep her mouth shut, except to say yes, doctor. On the day came, she's of a certain age, you know, when she said no, doctor.
Nursing sisters did that to me when I was young.
Yes, when you were walking the wards. Sister Sutherland did it to a very eminent consultant in the presence of a registrar, a houseman, and 6 medical students. I could hardly tell him it was an aspect of the menopause.
Was she right?
Ask the pathologist.
Then I'm in good company.
Yes. That scarcely helped her, however. The day she left here, she said she would never nurse again.
Did she tell you she would take it out of every doctor at the expense of his patients? How many would she sacrifice to make me bleed? Because I am a man. Damn it, woman, it's got to stop.
Dr. Cameron, you will not address me as woman.
I beg your pardon, matron. Thank you for giving me your time.
Dr. Cameron, one moment.
What is it?
Sutherland is a sick woman. A doctor's job. I am a nurse. But if I were asked, I might suggest treatment.
May I sit down again?
Please do.
Matron, I am a humble medical practitioner. And I would be happy to pick your brain.
Janet. Janet, you're cleared.
Oh, I am that, Dr. Finley. Oh.
We'll tell Dr. Cameron together when he gets back.
Back? Where has he gone?
To see Miss Sutherland.
Oh, dear.
Why do you say that?
I've something on my conscience, Dr. Finley.
Oh, that can always be cured. A dram. Have a wee dram, eh?
Wait. On my way to Dr. Snoddy's, I was very low, Dr. Finley. And very bitter.
Oh, naturally.
I called on Rab Gregory and told him about Jenny going to see Miss Sutherland before she...
Oh, Janet.
Yes.
How did Rab take it?
Very quiet. Very white in the face. Dr. Finley, do you think he'll do anything?
It's kind of you to call, Dr. Cameron. But not, of course, an unexpected pleasure. How is Miss MacPherson?
Sister Sutherland, I have not come here to quarrel with you.
That is as well, Dr. Cameron.
It would give me great pleasure to be able to address you as Dr. Sutherland. Without the irony you offer me. But I cannot. May I say, though, that you already have a title not lacking in honor?
I had. I am Miss Sutherland now.
If I addressed you merely as nurse, I should be honoring an ancient and dedicated craft.
No, soft soap.
Oh, that is not my nature. Sister, you distinguish yourself in your profession. There is still a place for you.
You want me out of Tannock Brae. Dr. Cameron, you cannot bear to have me here.
I do want you to go. I will not deny that.
You cannot deny it. Your patients have abandoned your magic for mine.
Don't try me too far. I have been talking to your former matron. It is she who wants you back in your profession.
Never. I told her that. Never.
Do you know the Scott Street Medical Mission in the Gorbals?
Of course, what of it?
Church Foundation, voluntary medical staff. The greater part of the work done by nurses under nominal supervision.
You think that's what I want? Most of the work and none of the credit?
Matron says it's not a case of what you want, Sister Sutherland. It is a case of what you need.
And what is that?
The infinite mercy of God. Miss Sutherland.
Ah!
A brick. Who on earth?
Oh.
You're bleeding.
Oh.
Keep still. Stay still. You're not badly hurt. Now hold that there while I get my bag. You're all right, sister. Just keep perfectly still. Be quiet, woman.
Not a doctor. Not even a nurse. A patient.
Listening to Cup, Hand, or Cards, written and adapted by Harry Green from the television series of Dr. Finlay's Casebook, based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin and broadcast by arrangement with Graham Stewart. The cast was as follows: Dr. Cameron, Andrew Cruikshank, Janet, Barbara Mullen, Dr. Finlay, Bill Simpson, Miss Sutherland, Beatrix Lehman. Matron and Mrs. Crawford, Margot Boyd. Mrs. Fraser, Catherine Helm. Constable Ross, Malcolm Hayes. Rab Gregory, Alaric Cotter. Biddy, Margaret Boyd. The play was produced by Peter Titheridge.